Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wounded Blue Hour here on America Out Loud. And I am your host, Randy Sutton, a 34-year law enforcement veteran, retired police lieutenant from Las Vegas Metropolitan Police, and also the author of several books, including A Cop's Life and the soon-to-be-released Rescuing 911, The Fight for America's Safety. I'm also the founder of an organization called The Wounded Blue. The Wounded Blue is the national assistance and support organization for injured and disabled law enforcement officers, a nationwide charity that's helped thousands of American law enforcement officers who have been injured either physically or psychologically and emotionally. On this show, we talk about all things related to the spiritual, yes, I said that word, physical, mental, and emotional well-being of the American law enforcement community. And as always, I have a great guest waiting for us. But before we get to him, we do what is called our reality check. And during this time in our show, I memorialize the officers who have given their lives in the line of duty since the previous show, which was just a week ago. And I have one name to read concerning that tragedy. Trooper Christopher M. Gadd, Washington State Patrol. Trooper Christopher Gadd was killed when his patrol car was struck by another vehicle while he was parked on the shoulder of I-5 near 136th Street in Marysville at about 3 a.m. He was conducting DUI enforcement patrols when the crash occurred. The vehicle that struck him was traveling at a high rate of speed when he drove into the back of his patrol car. The driver was arrested and charged with vehicular homicide, awaiting toxicology reports. Trooper Gadd has served with the Washington State Patrol for 2.5 years. He is survived by his wife, 2-year-old daughter, and parents and sister. His father also serves with the Washington State Patrol, and his sister serves with the Texas Highway Patrol. What a tragedy. Trooper Christopher M. Gadd, Washington State Patrol, Washington. End of watch Saturday, March 2nd, 2024. So he's the only officer this week to lose his life in the line of duty. However, the violence towards law enforcement officers continues unabated. The Fraternal Order of Police report for January and February reports that 63 law enforcement officers have been shot into duty in those 2 months. That's more than one a day. And this has been what we have been seeing for the last year or so. Literally, a police officer shot every single day in America. It's a nationwide tragedy, and yet you won't be reading it or hearing about it on the mainstream media. In fact, I want to add a little something to this conversation. This is from PoliceOne.com. And this is a article that that they had on their website. And this is from a Minnesota sheriff. And the quote is, "Can you care about us before we're dead?" Unquote. Minnesota sheriff speaks out after spike in assaults on law enforcement officers. In 2016, 350 officers were assaulted across the state of Minnesota. In 2022, the number rose to 1,062. Now, the author of this article is Joanna Putman, St. Paul, Minnesota. A sheriff is speaking out about violence against officers after a deputy was injured by gunfire, Fox 9 reported. A Ramsey County Sheriff's Office deputy was shot during a pursuit, according to this report. The bullet struck his bullet-resistant vest. 6 inches higher, and he would have been dead, said Sheriff Bob Fletcher. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension found that assaults on officers in the state doubled from 2019 to 2022, according to this report. In 2016, 350 officers were assaulted across the state, but in 2022, 1,062. Fletcher attributed the increase to mental health and access to weapons, as well as harmful rhetoric by elected officials. Quote, "You can't just label an entire profession as easily as they have, and I'm talking about high-level officials. It's damaging," Fletcher told Fox 9. The young kids who have heard this message the last 4 or 5 years are emboldened. Fletcher pointed out that despite the outpouring of support that typically comes when officers are killed in the line of duty, support from politicians can be scant. And he ended it with, "Can you care about us before we're dead?" You know, that's a very poignant statement and an article that I think really reflects on the situation, not just in Minnesota, but across America. The violence is the reality of the law enforcement officer's life. And of course, the Wounded Blue is here to help them. So I want to bring in my guest after I take a sip of my water. So I want to talk about, I'm going to give you a little background about him first. And Adam is the has been a lifelong Ohio resident, graduated from high school there, went to Bowling Green State University with a degree in marketing and entrepreneurship. After graduation, he started his own business. And then after a year running that business, he started a business in development. But really the reason that he is here is because he is the co-founder of the National Law Enforcement Officer Hall of Fame. And that's what we're going to be talking to him about. And why don't you bring him on in. Hey, Adam, how are you?
How are you? Good to be here.
Good, man. Well, I like your background, man. That's a cool logo in the back.
It's actually one thing that we have behind the stage at our induction ceremony last year, and we just put it in our offices, and it makes a perfect backdrop for podcasts and phone calls and things like that. So
that it does. Okay, I am going to read the mission of the Hall of Fame. To preserve the history of law enforcement, honor its excellence, and foster an appreciation for its historical development and its impact on our culture by collecting, preserving, exhibiting, and interpreting its collections for a global audience, as well as honoring those who have made outstanding contributions to the profession while providing mental health assistance to current and former law enforcement officers. The National Law Enforcement Officer Hall of Fame was created in 2017 to honor law enforcement officers. The purpose is to recognize those officers that have gone above and beyond in one way or another in the line of duty. The Hall of Fame judges panel will be looking for those stories that show how the officer has gone out of their way to make a difference in their job and in their community. Any person nominated for induction into the National Law Enforcement Officer Hall of Fame can be an active, retired, or deceased law enforcement officer. There will be several honorees inducted into the Hall of Fame each year. The Hall of Fame looks forward to honoring LEOs each and every year. Although most say they don't do the job for the recognition, we feel their stories need to be heard. Great mission statement.
Thank you. You actually did a lot of the work there for me.
You had it all lined up, right?
There you go.
All right, so let's talk about you, Adam, for the moment. Mm-hmm. You didn't grow up you never entered the law enforcement service yourself. So what was it that inspired you to take on such this is a major endeavor. So what inspired you to do that?
So, yeah, no, as you said, I did not grow up in law enforcement. I actually am the chairman of the Entrepreneurial and Business Excellence Hall of Fame in Northwestern Ohio and Southeast Michigan. My really good friend, Megan Sockberger, who is the co-founder of the Hall of Fame with the National Law Enforcement Officer Hall of Fame with me, her father was retired Toledo Police. At the end of one of our business events in 2016, so in November, Joel Shear, Megan's father, came to us and said, "You guys need to do a Hall of Fame like you're doing for law enforcement officers." And we're like, "That, what do you mean there has to be one?" But after about a month of research, we had website, we had logo, we had trademark, and everything that we needed to do business-wise to create this event. It did start out as just a little small local program. I think we had about 60 people at a lunch the very first year. We got to about 125 the next year. And then in 2019, we went national with the help of a local or a national training company. And that helped us catapult us into the next endeavor and going nationally. We didn't hold the program in 2020 and 2021 just because of COVID and everything going on. And we didn't want to do it disservice by doing a virtual program that so many people did. So we held off on the event for those 2 years. And then 22 and 23, we also increased in size. And last year and this year will be, last year we honored 9 people from 8 states. This year we're honoring 8 people from 7 states. And just the amount of exposure that we've had and meeting people like you, Randy, that are giving us another voice and getting our name out there is just helping us so much. Because as we talked about last week, we're just a small organization just trying to make a difference and getting those stories out there that are the positive aspects of law enforcement that not everyone sees on a day-by-day basis. You know, and unfortunately, with what you just read before, we have some of those stories every single year. And it's, we don't have the big stories that the mainstream media might have. We are trying to get some of the smaller stories out there in national recognition so that everyone can see what the daily life of a law enforcement officer is, whether it be dealing with, I mean, one of our winners, Carly Travis, this year out of Middletown, Connecticut, literally was attacked with a hammer and she had to open fire and shoot the suspect. I mean, the guy was charging at her. And this is just one of our winners last year was a 26-year-old. His name was Alec Irado. He watched both his partners get shot and killed in line of duty. He was shot and he still apprehended the suspect and killed him with a single gunshot wound. But these are those stories that not everyone's hearing about on a national level. And that's what we are trying to do, is bring forth those stories. I mean, Randy, 35 years, I don't even want to know how many crazy events that you had to deal with in Atlantic City and Vegas, you know.
But not Atlantic City, not Atlantic City. Oh. I was a Princeton, New Jersey cop for 10 years.
No, but those stories that we want to get out there and showcase how dangerous the job is, but also showcase all of the positive things that cops do on a daily basis that they don't get recognized for. Megan Sockberg, the co-founder, always tells a story that her dad, and in Toledo, Ohio, you don't make that much money. Every year, he would take his 2 daughters, Megan and Stephanie, and buy gifts for people that might have lost something in a fire or might have lost something in some other tragedy.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, in my decades of law enforcement service, I can't tell you, it's not hundreds, but in the thousands of acts of kindness that I saw my brothers and sisters, you know, volunteer to do. Anything from, I mean, as you said, replacing items that were lost in a fire, buying Christmas gifts for kids that just didn't, you know, their parents didn't have any money. There were so many that they're literally uncountable. But it is an illustration of what it really means to embrace what it means to be a cop. And I, for one, am gratified that your Hall of Fame exists, and I believe it needs to be, you know, much more recognized than it is. But of course, you are a very young organization, so I know you're going through the growing pains of that. But let me ask you this: when you decided to create this, you and Megan, what were the challenges that you faced? Did you face challenges as far as people saying, you know, this is law enforcement, you know, why are you doing this?
We definitely did. And especially, I mean, 2017 was really big in defund the police and everything like that. And unfortunately, and I think I told you last week, we had some not so nice Facebook messages that came towards us and things like that. And some articles were asking us, like, what happens if negative organizations come towards you? And I'm like, well, we're going to have 100 plus law enforcement officers in one room. I think we're going to be okay if anything negative is going to happen to us. But yeah, it hasn't always been easy. We do feel like the tides are turning a little bit, whereas the more positive aspects are coming. But as you mentioned, there's still 63 officers that were shot this year alone. I mean, one of the winners we have, and I believe I mentioned him, but Johnny Castro. So he won our award program in 22. And what he does is for anyone that is killed in the line of duty, he sends a digital photograph within days to that family on his own dime, on his own labor, recognizing that person. So one of the things that we do with our musical talent this year, Dave Gray USA, is he has a song called Last Call about a law enforcement officer's last call. And we have him sing that song. And with an, unfortunately this year, it's over 130 officers that we will have from 2023 scrolling while Dave Gray USA is singing Last Call. And last year we did it, and I mean, I'm getting goosebumps right now just because there were a couple few hundred people in the room and three quarters of them were crying. I mean, just visible tears. But it's something that I never really understood, but Megan did, because she had that personal aspect of her father being in law enforcement. So those are some of those stories that we just like to get out, and we just feel that we just need to. I mean, doing podcasts like this, and you've been doing it for 4 years talking about it. We're, like you said, we're a very young organization, a small grassroots operation. We don't have a huge marketing budget and things like that. We have to do things like this to get our name out there. But the amount of people we've met, I mean, one of our winners is Tom Smith, and I know you know Tom and Dan Murphy very well. Mm-hmm. So Tom is our Shear Remsburg Lifetime Achievement Award. We met them last year kind of on a happenstance. We end up talking to them, and we've become really good friends. And we've just noticed really fast in just a short amount of years that the law enforcement community is very tight-knit. And if you're in it, thank God. But, and you'll be the first to admit it, many law enforcement officers are very standoffish because of what you've had to deal with, and they're very skeptical because of what they've had to deal with their entire life and their entire career. Our goal is to get those stories out there.
So let me ask you this. The challenges that you faced, I mean, trying to create an organization that from the ground up that is so all-encompassing has so many challenges to it. Mm-hmm. Have you been getting any support from law enforcement agencies or law enforcement unions?
Yes, we actually have. So some of our big sponsors this year, the NRA, we got hooked up with them a couple years ago, and they've been a big supporter. Bear Arms Tactical out of Ohio is a small gun store, but now they've had a big insurgence in doing national sales. Actually, this year we started a canine award, which is sponsored by the Fox and Hound Canine Foundation. The two big police unions in Texas are both sponsors this year. The Texas Municipal Police Association, the TMPA, and CLEAT, which is the Combined Law Enforcement Association of Texas. So that has helped a great deal in getting our name out there and being able to make the move to Texas, because as we talked about last week, it doubled our budget just to move from Toledo to Fort Worth. But it's something that we knew we had to do. Logistically, and Texas loves its law enforcement. But as I said, you know, any donation helps, and any sponsorship coming to the event is what we really want people to do, to be in the same room that night to see the energy and the positive aspects that we are promoting for this industry. Because as you read in our mission statement, we're trying to promote the good where there's just so much negative that both Megan and I and people like you are promoting the good, you know, but there's just, if you watch mainstream media and things like that, there's a lot of times that they focus on the negative, and our entire goal is to just focus on the positive aspects and showcase those stories of officers that you have not heard of, but we are bringing them to light.
So you're going to be holding your major event in Fort Worth this year.
Yes. Yes. It's on March 22nd. So we're stressing a little bit. We're about 2.5 weeks away. We're holding at the Omni. I mean, if you've ever been to an Omni, they are fantastic hotels. But yeah, it's on March 22nd. It's a Friday. We moved to a Friday from a Thursday the last few years. Like I said, we have 8 different winners. Kyle Reyes, who owns Law Enforcement Today. Kimber Gist, who is winning the Courage and Service Award. She's out of South Carolina. Wesley Smigelski out of Coloma Township, Michigan. Carly Travis, I mentioned, out of Middletown, Connecticut. Our Founders Award is Derek Diggs, who was actually the police chief in Toledo for many, many, many years, and then moved and became the chief police at Fort Myers Police Department, and sadly, just over a year ago, passed away from cancer. So he's being awarded posthumously. Our K-9 award is, unfortunately, K-9 Kit out of Braintree, Massachusetts, is posthumously being awarded because he was killed in the line of duty as well, but his handler, Billy Cushing, is going to be there. Jeffrey Heath is our school resource officer of the year. He's out of, I think it's Wacomico County in Maryland. And then, as I just mentioned, our Shear Remsburg Lifetime Achievement Award is Tom Smith, retired New York Police Department. So those are our winners this year. But I think even right now, we just sold some tickets from, I think it was South Dakota. It's like, so people, our name is getting out there, but our goal is to get people to attend the event from all 50 states. I mean, that's literally what we want to see in the next couple of years. And it's been a fun ride, and just getting to meet people like you, Randy, and you giving us the chance to get a voice out there and get to meet some of your listeners is just how we're going to get this thing even bigger than it already is. And so we're just so thankful for all the people we've met. I mean, there's about 5 or 6 other sponsors that if you go to our website, www.nationalleohalloffame.com, you can see pictures of last year's ceremony. You can see the winners again. One thing we are having is last couple of years we had, do you know who Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb? Do you know Sheriff Mark Lamb?
I know Mark Lamb very well. He's been a guest on this show before.
He was our MC for the past 2 years. But since he's running for Senate in Arizona, we were like, yeah, you can't really do that. So we actually have the sheriff of Tarrant County, which Fort Worth is in, as our MC. So we're really just trying to bring in the local talent as well from Fort Worth to showcase everything they have to offer law enforcement officers as well.
Well, you are building, and of course it takes sometimes years in order to gain the stature and the notoriety to fill a room for in law enforcement is always a difficult situation, but I have no doubt that you're on the right path, and you're going to be you will be there in the not too distant future. We've got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll get into more of your mission.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on americaoutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, americaoutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
George Washington once encouraged us to animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. That's exactly what we do, as you'll see when you visit AmericaOutloud.news. Now is our time. My fellow Americans, America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
One Nation Coffee. One Nation Coffee. Patriotic, veteran-owned, very, very good coffee. I actually went down and visited their roasting facility and met with the folks down there, John and his crew, and they are amazing people. The coffee is delicious. You order it online, they bring it right to your house. You can get the ground coffee, you can get beans. I like to grind my own. They've got also got these, the containers that you put in your Keurig or whatever that thing is called. So, One Nation Coffee. Go to OneNationCoffee.com. Order your coffee, and you'll get great coffee, and you'll be supporting a patriotic company that supports the Wounded Blue. So, go to OneNationCoffee.com. So there's another company I want to tell you about. It's called OfficerPrivacy.com. And what the hell is OfficerPrivacy.com? I'll tell you what it is. It's a law enforcement-owned company that actually goes into the internet and removes items of information about you and also your family. I had no idea how easy it was to get personal information about me off the internet. I just had no idea. Well, Pete James, who owns Officer Privacy and, of course, is a retired police officer, came to me and he told me, Randy, here's some stuff I found out about you. And I was like shocked. And he said, that's why I created this company, because officer safety is so important to all of us. And that officer safety is part and parcel of our families and our off-duty life. So if people can find you, find your home, we know how that can go bad in a lot of different ways with all the doxing and all the madness and the violence towards law enforcement. We want to take every precaution, and that's what officer privacy is. It's not expensive. They'll give you great information about it. Just contact them, officerprivacy.com. All the people that actually work for them are current or former police officers. So they're very, very careful about who they hire. And of course, that gives us peace of mind as well. So go to officerprivacy.com, check them out, and tell them Randy sent you. I'm sure they'll appreciate that. So let's talk about something else before we get back to our guest. I want to tell you more about the Wounded Blue, because the Wounded Blue is a nationwide charity that helps injured and disabled law enforcement officers. How do we help them? In so many ways. We recognize injuries as either being physical or emotional and psychological. And believe me, there have been just a ton of emotional and psychological injuries in the last few years. We probably deal with half and half. So one of the main core missions of the Wounded Blue is to provide peer support for injured and disabled officers. Now, what does that mean? My entire team is made up of police officers who have been shot or stabbed or beaten or run over or hit with bottles, hit with bricks, have faced serious post-traumatic stress and come out on the other side. And so they know what they're talking about. They've walked the walk. They know that everybody's journey is different, and yet so many similarities exist. So knowing that the person that is providing peer support to you has been in a similar journey is what makes us such a unique and valued organization. We reach out to cops, but cops reach out to us all the time. You can contact us on Facebook at The Wounded Blue or thewoundedblue.org. Hit that little contact button and just say, you know what, I'd love to talk to a peer team member. Now, here's the other part of this coin. We are a nationwide charity. We don't get money from anybody except people who are interested in helping police. So if you are one of those people, I ask you to go to thewoundedblue.org, hit that donate button, and give what you can. 10 bucks a month, 20 bucks a month, whatever it is that you can afford. And if you are a business and you want to become a sponsor of The Wounded Blue, you can contact me personally, Randy at thewoundedblue.org. That's Randy at thewoundedblue.org. Our motto is what we live by: never forgotten, never alone. So if you're a police officer struggling, reach out to us. Completely confidential, no one will ever know. And we are a resource for every law enforcement officer or retired law enforcement officer in America, as well as every agency in America. So you chiefs who are listening to this, you don't have to reinvent the wheel and create your own peer team, because we're already there. TheWoundedBlue.org. Let's bring Adam back in. All right, Adam. What is the best way for people to get involved in your organization?
Oh, perfect. Well, really what we'd like to do, I mean, nominations are perfect. You know, I think in 2023, we had, 62 nominations from 39 states.
So, wow, that's that's significant.
It was very significant. You know, Megan and I, thank God, we are not our own judges panel, because we read all the stories and we would fall in love with every single story and just wouldn't be able to do it. So nominating an officer, of course, coming to the event. I mean, for a civilian price, it's $100. And for a law enforcement, whether it's retired or active, it's $75. And kind of what you had just mentioned about your organization, just donate. You know, we've learned a long time, and we talked with numerous other organizations, especially nonprofits like us, and people are like, oh, I can only give $5. That goes further than you think. You know, it goes towards our mission. It helps us put this event on that showcases the positive stories of law enforcement around the nation. So monthly donations are very, very, very helpful for us. We do have bigger plans, but like we said, moving to Texas was a bigger undertaking financially than we would have thought. So any donation, sponsorship, ticket sales, and kind of like you said, just email us. I mean, Megan and I's email address is on our website. And just if you have any questions or if you have, say, hey, would this be the type of person that is nominated? Yes, we can answer right away and say that is the exact type of person that would win our type of award.
That was going to be my next question. What is the criteria and what is the methodology for nominating a police officer? Does it have to be from another cop or can it be from a citizen? How does that work?
No, it can be anyone, you know, and like we said, Kyle Reyes is actually a civilian honoree this year, but he's done a lot for law enforcement officers, but he is technically not a LEO. But no, we've had retired police officers, we've had active duty, but no, you do not have to be a LEO to nominate someone. But we are really just looking for those people that go above and beyond. I know it's in our mission, but this sounds bad because everyone's very important, but if it's a traffic cop that has given 20 years, they might not be the person. But how other ways that people are going above and beyond the call of duty, kind of like we mentioned earlier about a lot of school resource officers, they implement programs into the school to help. You know, so those are one of those types of people that we are looking for. And we mentioned the Fox and Hound Canine Foundation Canine Award. You know, that's one that we think is going to end up getting quite some traction because everyone knows a canine LEO that sadly many of them know that have died in the line of duty. But we're trying to get one that is still alive to have them come to the event, you know? But as we said, if you email or call Megan or I, any introductions to people that think that are pro LEO that think they would be good advocates for us, or should we talk to someone? We're a smaller organization. We don't have the backing of everyone yet. You know, so if you sit there and say, oh my God, and I'm going to use you for example, Wounded Blue, this is right up your alley. Well, connect us and see if there's ways that we can help each other out. Because that's the one thing we've learned a lot within this tight-knit community is we're all out to help each other. You know, it's us against the world. And I mean, I will do anything to help you out. If you're looking to get in touch with someone that I might know, I will make that connection for you. And we kind of expect the same of other people as well. But yeah, it's the nomination process is very simple. You just go online on our website and there's a nominate button. Fill that out. You can attach different documents or cops use CVs, curriculum vitae, and things like that. And then once we know more information, we try to do a little bit of background on the officer, but it's not always the easiest.
Well, what is the criteria for nomination? I mean, it's a lifetime achievement award, or, you know, I understand what that means, but what's the criteria for nominating someone for the Hall of Fame?
I'm going to pull it up real fast. Service above and beyond the call of duty, notable acts of courage or valor, outstanding contributions to the profession, unique approaches to community service and relations, overall career achievement, selfless dedication to the safety and well-being of fellow officers, extraordinary endurance and/or survival commitment in extreme events, particularly inspiring professional and/or personal behavior. Those are just some of the criteria that we have seen in the past. And we've had Courage and Service Award, we've had Distinguished Service Award, School Resource Officer of the Year Award, of course, the Shear Remsburg Lifetime Achievement Award. The beautiful thing about our organization is because we own it, if you were to come up and say, oh, someone's nominating Randy and he doesn't fit the mold of some of the other awards that we've had in the past, we ask our judges, is it something else that he should be nominated for? You know, and then mm-hmm. we can create that award customized towards that honoree versus just here's the same five awards that you get every year.
Understand. Yeah, that makes sense. You gotta be fluid here, right?
Oh yeah. And we try to do that as much as we can. But it's Megan and I, we have great supporters. But as we talked about last week, it's kind of like you. I mean, you could, in your organization, you could have 100 people working for you and still not get everything done. You know, and we're kind of dealing with that now because we have to run the event, but then we also have to fundraise and we have to talk to people coming to the event. And it's the two of us doing everything, which sure. is, we wouldn't have it any other way. But as we talked about, it's a large undertaking.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Are you looking for volunteers to help you?
Always.
So for my viewers and listeners, if you are mm-hmm. looking to volunteer for an organization that helps law enforcement, yeah. you might want to consider this organization.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that's just one of those things that you probably have as well, as we bought the challenge coins, which I never really understood how big that was in the law enforcement industry. And we have, I mean, you can see behind us a little bit here, we're getting our collection, but we're looking to send those out to people as well. You know, so if there's someone that's a volunteer, especially around this Ohio or Texas area, that's an easy way to just help us and send those to people that think they might be willing to help us. We haven't discussed it too much, but just sometimes just making phone calls or just sending emails saying, hey, have you heard about this National Law Enforcement Officer Right. Hall of Fame? Just, it's amazing when you're a smaller organization, just having even one volunteer do some very menial tasks, how much that helps.
Sure. You know, absolutely.
You've probably done it over years, you know? But yeah, we're just at this point, we're a growth organization. People are still like, well, I was on a call today and they were like, well, have you heard of this 501c3 in Fort Worth? I'm like, nope, but can you send me an email introduction to them? And you know, if they bring one or two people, it's in their backyard. It's just another organization that we're aligned with that hopefully we can help as well as you help us, you know?
Well, you know, that's a really important topic I want to bring up, is that there are literally not just hundreds, thousands of organizations out there in the space of law enforcement. You know, everything from, you know, organizations that do what you do to mm-hmm. those that make blankets for police officers, those that send cookies. I mean, there's literally thousands of them. And all of them can complement one another in one way or another. But there is almost a subculture of organizations that don't want to cooperate with one another. And that's a failing of ours. Law enforcement needs to unify in a lot of different ways. You know, there's 17,000 different police agencies in this country, and they all have a different chief or a sheriff. They all have different rules and regulations. They are all separated from one another, and that doesn't help the law enforcement mission. Well, the same thing is with charities. You know, they've got their little space, and if we all worked together in one way or another, it would be to the mutual benefit of all. So it's an uphill journey. Depends on who's running it and who, you know, what their mission is. But sometimes it can be a real challenge just to get other organizations to even put your name out there and say, hey, look what these guys are doing. You know, and that's a shame. That's a failing of ours.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's I'm kind of glad you bring that up. It brings me up to a point with the NRA, and one of the things that they do is if you're a law enforcement officer and you are a member of the NRA, If you are killed in the line of duty, they automatically send the family $35,000. And that's something
I did not know that. And I'm on the trustees committee of the NRA, and I did not know that they did that.
Mm-hmm. And it's just for as part of your membership if you're a law enforcement officer. I'll send you the link and things like that. But it's those things that, I mean, this is the NRA. This is one of the biggest organizations in the nation.
Sure.
And not every cop should know that. You know, like every single one. You know, and there's so many things out there like that, but you have to do your own research. And kind of like you, we're small. You know, there's only so many hours in the day, and you do, which I'm understanding. I sleep more than many LEOs because you guys are crazy. Like, I don't know how to do what you do. But there's just so much out there and so many benefits from these organizations that not everyone know about. You know, so those are some of the things. One of our winners, Complete Solution, or one of our sponsors, the Complete Solution Group, they exist to help law enforcement and military when they retire to kind of acclimate into the real world. You know, because it's mm-hmm. it's a big struggle for many LEOs and ex-military once they're out of that profession. But how do they, I mean, how many people enter the military at 18? Well, you haven't experienced sure. life at 18.
Sure, exactly.
And then you go into a very structured path. Well, you might not know what to do when you're out. You know, so those are those things that we just love to talk about and promote, because they're also the people that are helping us and donating and sponsoring us and things like that. So that's just one of the things that both Megan and I pride ourselves on, is if you help us, we're going to help you. Even if you can't help us, we're going to help you if it's something to our ability.
So let me ask you this. Is there anyone, you know, you're dealing with, you know, nominations of people that have done extraordinary things in law enforcement. Is there one or two that really set an example for you as kind of a bright star that, you know, that inspires you?
For me, well, even just talking with Joel Scheer, Megan's father, I get to talk to him because he's actually a board member of ours as well on our nonprofit. I get to talk with him, but for me, not growing up in the arena, it's the winners that we've had over the past 6 years. You know, we call them the Boston Boys, and they won 2 years ago. One of them works for the Massachusetts State Police. Another one works at Rockport Police Department in around Boston. But they started a nonprofit called the LEO Support Foundation, and we've become really close friends with them. So their nonprofit offers free of charge quick clock kits and tourniquets to police departments that don't necessarily have the money or the funds to get that. So any donation that goes to their nonprofit, they provide those. And over the past couple of years, what used to cost them $50 per kit cost them close to $100. So wow. Your money isn't going as far now. And these are light, these can be you 35 years. I mean, how many times did you know of someone that you need to use a tourniquet or quick clot? I mean, these are life saving products that not all agencies have the money to buy. And sure. We just hear that stuff. Oh my gosh. Like one of our winners last year, Cheryl McCollum, she started the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. She's one of the leading experts on cold cases in the nation. And right there out of Hapeville, Georgia. You know, I mean, her friends are Nancy Grace and things like that. She's worked on Natalie Holloway. She's worked on Tupac Shakur. She's worked, if you name a big cold case in the nation, most likely Cheryl McCollum has worked on it. That's one of our winners from last year. Trying to think of some of the other ones. I mean, in our very early years, we have Judy Johnson, she's an SRO out of Rossford, Ohio. She's making the trip down to Texas because she just believes in what we're doing so, so, so much. So a lot of my stories of the people that I look up to in this industry are the people that we've heard of through the nominations, but people like yourself that I get to talk to, because I didn't grow up in this industry, and my parents' friends weren't peers and LEOs. So it's been really just an eye-opening experience for me to understand how close-knit and everything that you guys go through on a daily basis. I mean, we hear stuff from, I think it was even Toledo Police Department, that one of our winners, like, yeah, you'll go see a dead body. And I hate to be gross, but your listeners know what this is. And an hour later, you're making a traffic stop. You don't get a couple days off after seeing a traumatic event like a homicide or a suicide or something like that. And I can only imagine the toll that takes on the, and kind of what you guys do for that Wounded Blue, mental and physical and aspects like that, is people shouldn't have to deal with that. You know, and it's just a part of a daily job of LEO. That to me is like, it's mind-boggling to me.
But the challenges of being law enforcement are not, they're not getting any better. They're getting more difficult because of the social decline of our nation, of district attorneys who refuse to prosecute. I mean, there's a myriad of other stressors that didn't exist 15 years ago that now these men and women are having to face. And at the same time, the physical dangers are rising instead of diminishing. So it is more and more a challenging job. But one more time, how do people contact you?
So our website is www.nationalleohalloffame.com. Our contact, our phone number and email addresses are on that. And kind of like you had brought up earlier, Randy, the best way to just support us and help us is through a donation, through a sponsorship, through a ticket. You know, some of our sponsors are sitting there saying, I believe in your organization so much, I can't make it to the event, but I can give $1,000. I can give $2,500. Can that sponsorship purchase tickets for some law enforcement officers that might not be able to come? So we do have some of those people that are donating money like that. And just our big thing, especially with the induction ceremony, is we just want to blow it out of this world and show the law enforcement officers, we are so proud of them and what they do on a daily basis. And we had mentioned, you're not coming for a tiny little set $10 salad at a lunch anymore. I mean, this is, we're going all out, you know, and because it's what LEOs across the U.S. deserve, you know.
When is your event again?
It's Friday, March 22nd at the Omni in Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay,
logistically, it's really easy.
So for my listeners, there's plenty of time to get a ticket. And I may be working on seeing if I can slide down there myself here. So, Adam, thank you so much for taking some time and joining me here at the Wounded Blue Hour to talk about your amazing organization. I wish you nothing but luck. And I'm sure that as years go by, you will be part of an organization that is touching the lives of thousands of people.
We truly appreciate it. Thank you so much, Randy.
So before I say goodbye, I want to talk about the National Law Enforcement Survival Summit. That is the signature event for the Wounded Blue when it comes down to fulfilling our mission. Our mission is to improve the lives of injured and disabled officers through support, education, assistance, and legislation. And on the education part, The National Law Enforcement Survival Summit will be in its fourth year, September 26th through the 29th in Las Vegas. Now, in one of my jobs with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police, I was the director of advanced training, the supervisor of advanced training. And so I went to tons of police conferences, tons of them. Most of them were very non-memorable, let me put it that way. And so when I was tasked with creating an event that could prevent injuries to officers from happening, and that was when I came up with the idea of the National Law Enforcement Survival Summit, because it's every aspect of surviving a law enforcement career, physically, emotionally, psychologically, relationships, spiritually. And we have some of the finest speakers in the country, people that are sharing their stories. It is unlike any other law enforcement conference you will ever attend, I promise you. It's been life-changing and life-saving for many people. We're about to put a short promotional film on our website, thewoundedblue.org, to talk about the summit. And I urge you to keep an eye on our website, because it changes all the time. And you're going to want to see this short little film about the Survival Summit. In it, you'll hear someone say, if it weren't for it, for this summit, I would not be here today. That's how dramatic it is. So if you are a law enforcement officer or have been, you should come to this summit. It's held in Las Vegas. It's not expensive. It's $325, and that includes your breakfast and your lunch. It's in the Ahern Hotel, which is a fantastic boutique hotel just off the Las Vegas Strip. The speakers are amazing. You'll get to interact with myself and other members of the Wounded Blue team. And I guarantee you, you'll walk away with an entirely different set of knowledge than you did walking in. So go to thewoundedblue.org, sign up today, and I will see you there in Las Vegas in September. I appreciate you taking the time to join me here at the Wounded Blue Hour. I am your host, Randy Sutton. Stay safe, and remember the Wounded Blue motto: never forgotten, never alone.